Praise God. Well, are you happy what the Lord is doing? Praise God. Amen. And for all of those that didn't answer, I'm going to preach to you tonight. Amen. And I'm going to throw myself right in the middle of it. Praise God. I believe it affects all of us either now or especially at different times. Exodus chapter number 10, beginning at verse number 21. Bible said, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all of the land of Egypt 3 days. And they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all of the children of Israel had light in their dwellings." Praise God. I want to preach here for a little while this tonight. And famous last words, I don't believe I'm going to be long. And but you never know. Brother Dennis is always my champion there, egging me on. And I have a lot of thoughts. And that could be an issue. That could be a problem. But the deal is there's no wires tying all these thoughts together. And so if they don't come together, then there's nothing that we can do about it. And but I want to talk to you tonight about a darkness which can be felt. Amen. A darkness that can be felt. Would you ask the Lord to help us here tonight? God, we love you. Praise God. Amen and amen. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. There are many different faces of darkness. It's not just the cover of darkness and just the black, eerie feeling that we feel and we experience and see at night times, but darkness has many different faces. There is a darkness of uncertainty and not knowing what the future holds, and maybe not even knowing what tomorrow holds or next week or next month would hold, but there is that darkness. There is a darkness of grief that would be about us at different points in time. It doesn't matter who you are or how old that you are. You're going to face grief. And if you haven't already, you probably are almost inhuman. And but grief has its way of showing itself. There is a darkness of disappointment when you feel like you should have gotten the promotion and you didn't. Feel like you should have gotten the raise and you didn't. Feel like you should have been the one that was chosen for and you weren't. And all of those other little things. But there is a darkness of disappointment. There is also a darkness of waiting that's just, you're waiting for something to happen, and it doesn't happen, it doesn't come through, it doesn't come to pass, and you begin to experience that darkness. And it is a darkness that can be felt. It just simply means that there is a heaviness that is attached with that darkness. There is a gloom that is attached to that darkness, and you can feel the despondency. You can feel the heaviness. You can feel the anxiety of it, but it is something that you may be able to place it, but you're still groping with it. It's like having that light in the room that is upon a chain or a string, and it's utter darkness in there, and you're just kind of swinging your hand around and they're trying to find that string and just can't find it. But as soon as you do and you can click it on, then everything is illuminated and it makes everything so much better. And so our text today talks about a darkness that we understand to be the ninth plague that was placed upon Egypt in the process of getting the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And in spite of all of the plagues that was there, there were some plagues that the land of Goshen did not experience, and this was one of them. But the Lord spoke unto Moses and tell him, just stretch forth your hand towards the heaven, and there will be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which can be felt. And so Moses did that. He stretched forth his hand, and there was a thick darkness that rolled and developed in the land of Egypt for 3 days. And the Bible said that it was such utter darkness that they did not even see one another for 3 days. And nobody even rose from his place for 3 days. But all of the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Praise God. Amen. For some, it may have been worse than it first began, the plague that was there. And just because that you cannot see what God is doing and what, how God is working does not mean that God is not working. And so this is what we are going to take from and launch from here tonight, is that we are come to nine plagues in the land of Egypt. The children of Israel had been in such disarray and cried out unto the Lord for a deliverer. And here comes Moses, and they are acquainted with Moses, but it just seems to be that Moses has made things worse. Just seems to be that you know, they didn't like the slavery that they were living in. They didn't like having to make bricks. They didn't like having to build the cities. They didn't like having somebody tell them what to do and when to go to bed or when to wake up. They didn't like all of that, but nevertheless it was, and they cried out to God for deliverance. Here comes Moses, and as Moses began to do things and would throw his rod upon the ground and it would become a snake, and the magicians threw their rods upon the ground and they became snakes, and Moses' rod would eat theirs and such, and it seemed like, oh, it just seems like, you know what, this could be that. But then all of a sudden the plagues began to happen, and the first few that the children of Israel began to experience, they began to think to themselves, you know what, we had it a whole lot better before Moses came around, and what once looked like deliverance and what once looked like promise and what once looked like everything that we have waited on coming to pass, all of a sudden I'm not for sure that I want this, not for sure that I want what I've asked for. And so plague after plague after plague happens, and finally there comes a time when there is a dividing line, and Egypt would experience the plagues, and Goshen would be minus the plagues, and they wouldn't experience them, but still there is that anxiety that is there, and you just don't know when and how long that it's going to last, and when the next plague is going to come, and is this plague going to be the one that's going to cause us deliverance or consternation? Is this plague going to be the one that's going to bring us out of this place or dig us deeper into despair? But I would submit to you tonight that the entire time that God was in control and that God was working, God had heard their voice and their cry when they cried out to the Lord for a deliverer. And in the process of all of that, in the process of time, I want to remind you that it is some 80 years before things began to really come to pass. They cried cried out for a deliverer, and the deliverer had to be born. I know that it was God that was doing the deliverer, but the one that he was using was yet to be born. And so Moses is born, put into the bulrushes, found by Potiphar's or Pharaoh's daughter, and raised by Jochebed for a period of time, goes into Pharaoh's courts and is raised there, and they're still crying out for a deliverer. We know that Moses would kill an Egyptian and would flee to the desert place and would work for his father-in-law and be on the backside of a desert for some 40 years. And in that, the Lord would come down and speak to him through the burning bush. All the while, the children of Israel are still crying out for the deliverer. Moses, sent by God, armed with Aaron's voice, mouth, would come unto Pharaoh and would tell him, the Lord has said to let his people go that they may worship. And Pharaoh's answer was just simply, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And so it begins to go back and forth. And the Lord hardens Pharaoh's heart, and a plague comes down. And Pharaoh says, all right, enough is enough, and the plague would be over, and Pharaoh's heart would be hardened again. 9 plagues into this, the children of Israel are thinking to themselves, you know what? What did we really ask for? Where are we really going? And what is really happening? And then if I could use the pun here tonight, amen, when darkness began to overtake, and even though that light was in the land of Goshen, I believe that the children of Israel, even though that light was there, maybe one of them lifted up their voice and said, I can't see what's happening. I can't see what's going on. I don't see that we're any closer to our answer today than we were 80 years ago. I don't see that we're any closer to the answer today than we were when Moses first showed up. But I will say that things have escalated and gotten a whole lot worse. And so the darkness was there. And even though that they could not see the hand of God and the ways that God was working and in the ways that God was setting things into place, I want to remind you that the hand of God was working for their favor. They were not able to see it, but there was a God that was reaching down into the heart of Pharaoh and was doing things that man's eyes could not see. There was a hand of God that was in the midst of their trouble. Amen. That even though that the water seemed tumultuous, the hand of God was getting ready to put his finger in it and ready to trouble. Amen. To untrouble those troubled waters. Amen. Even though that they could not see it. Amen. There was a hand of God that was opening up a door that they did not even know that existed. And before long, God was going to get all of the glory. But before that he got all the glory, there was a darkness that could be felt. Before that he did get all of the glory, there were some questions that ran through the minds of the Israelites. Before he was able to receive all of the glory, amen, there were some things that happened to cause them, amen, to question what is going on. I've just come today to tell you that in spite of your situation, in spite of how much that the devil seems like he's in control, in spite of what is going on, in spite of the lawyer's report, in spite of the doctor's report, in spite of the bank records, in spite, amen, of all the dilemmas that's going on in your life, there is still a hand of God that is faithful, that knows the beginning from the end. Amen. He had your answer before you had your question. Amen. He had your miracle before you had your dilemma. He had the message before there was a mess that was in there. But God, I'm talking about, there's some difficult theology that God is working, but yet the Bible still
deal simply says, all things work together for the good to them who love the Lord and who are the called according to His purpose. I want Him to find me in love with Him. I want Him to find me being faithful to Him. I may have questions at times, but I want to be faithful to the cause. When I don't understand His methods, I want to trust in His character. I know that God is able. I know that God is powerful enough. I know that God is willing. And yet, I want to be faithful all the way to the end and let the hand of God work in the darkness that I feel.
Oh, let's give Him praise here tonight. Praise God. Praise God. You need to bear in mind that He is God. We're not God. I'm not God. Amen. And thankfully, He's still God. He's still on the throne. I still have lots of questions. I still have anxieties. I still have moments. Amen. But I'm reminded that God is faithful. Praise God. Negativity can have, get this, this is pretty deep. Negativity can have a negative effect on your life. That's what the wise man said. It's true. You know, and we take a look at that and we see how negative things have an effect on our life, but for some reason we order negative things and, amen, supersized. Amen. We oftentimes are gluttons for punishment. We know that there's no good that's going to come out of that, but yet we still got to go try it out. If we've done it once, if we've learned it once, we've learned it a million times. But for some reason or another, we think that this time is going to be different. For some reason, this time or another, we're going to win. We're going to be victorious. Like you've always fallen prey to the same old thing over and over and over again, but this time you're shaking your fist and saying, no, this time I'm going to win. And there seems to be a God that's just back looking at it and saying, all right, if that's what you think, go ahead and try it. And you know what happens all the time as we come back to God and our broken pieces and our all of those other things, and we say, okay, God, it didn't go like I thought that it was going to go. Amen. But you know what? There's still a hand of God. I'm thankful for a merciful God. For a merciful God. That in spite of our ignorance, and I would even say this, and it does have a meaning. I'm not saying it in a crass way, but I'm saying it in a purposeful way. In spite of all of our stupidity. That's the truth. That's the word, the definition of stupid. We don't necessarily use it. But that's that I know to do better and I still do it. That's not unwise. There's no wisdom in that. Say, well, that was an unwise moment. There was no wisdom in that. That was the definition that Einstein called insanity. Doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different outcome. Einstein said that's the definition of insanity. Praise God, sometimes I think I lost my mind. You didn't have to agree. Brother Dennis and I are in the same boat. But negativity has a way of causing negative effects upon you. But yet you still associate with the same negative people. They've never been positive. They've never had. They even start off positive. Well, you know, I know that this and this, but some of you on social media feeds, there's nothing but negativity. And you wonder why you feel so depressed and so despondent and so much in despair. It's because what you read is going to affect you. What you allow to come into your ears is going to affect you. What you allow to come through your eyes is going to affect you. If you want to be a positive person, put yourself around positive people. Amen. If you want positive outcomes, amen, be around positive ingoings. Amen. Be around positive people that are putting forth positive things. But you know that there's some people that they can't see anything positive in anything. That's not the type of people that I want to be around. I want to make sure that I'm around somebody that says, you know what, I believe that we can do this. And together we can. You know, and Jesus said, if two or three are just agree in my name concerning anything, that it shall be done. That's the way that I want to be. That's what I want to have. I don't want to walk around with my head tucked down and bowed low because of the depression and the despondency and the despair that is there because that I involve myself in it, listen to it, associate with it, bathe in it, and then wonder why that it is, amen, so real and so heavy upon my heart. I want to make sure that I take out the light of positivity, amen, and the light of good things and begin to put it on me, amen. I want to go around Brother Dennis and let him tell me some more dad jokes, amen, and can be some of the corniest things, but it'll still put a smile upon your face. It's better than listening to all the news of this world and wonder, are we going to have tomorrow? What's going to happen after this? How is this all going to come to pass? Don't know how this is. I don't know how that is. Amen. Forget all about it and turn your eyes towards Jesus and see if things don't turn around. Amen. I'm here to tell you that God is still in control, and just because that you cannot see his hand in the middle of it does not mean that he is not working.
Praise God. If you only knew how I felt. It doesn't matter how that we feel. I can promise you right now, you don't want to know how I felt. Amen. Praise God. But God has been good. Let's take just a little bit of time tonight. And let's look at a few of these in general. I want to take you to one in particular, but we'll get to that one in a moment. But we could take a look at Joseph. And I would tell you that Joseph couldn't see God working when he was thrown into the pit. When his brothers, those that he was supposed to trust, be able to trust, and they picked him up and they threw him into the pit. I don't know that he could really see God in that moment. He could see God when he was having dreams and visions. And he could see God when there were stars and there was cattle and there was all of the other things that was the sheaves that was bowing down to him and all of that. He could see God in the middle of all of that. But he couldn't see God when they picked him up and threw him into the pit. And he couldn't see God when he was sold into slavery. And he had no understanding and he probably felt betrayed. He probably felt slighted. Joseph couldn't see God when he was falsely accused. So I didn't do anything. But God was in control. Joseph couldn't see God working when he was forgotten about in prison. And a man said, oh, I'll let him know tomorrow. I'll let him know when he restores me. And several years go by before he's able to remember that. Can't see God in all of that. But I want to tell you that from the moment that Joseph walked out the door to go find his brothers, amen, God had him by the hand and was leading him all the way. I'm going to take you to your brothers. Because there's a plan that I've got in action. I've got it in play. You're not going to understand it, but you're just going to have to trust me. I've got it all in hand. And when he handed Joseph off to his brothers, amen, and Joseph's feeling of elation was all giddy and great until his brothers picked him up by the seat of the pants and threw him down into the pit. And then he thought, what did I do? What did I do to deserve this? And finally, somebody pulled him out and sold him to the Midianites. And here he is thinking, now, what is going on? I can't see what is happening in my life. Everything began to be extremely dark in his life. The oppression was so heavy upon him. And then there he is in Pharaoh's court and feeling a little bit of light come upon the subject, feeling maybe a little bit of inspiration as he's able to do the things. But then all of a sudden he's accused falsely and lied about, and he's thrown into prison, and he sits there thinking and shaking his head saying, what did I do? I just don't see what's going on. I can't see what's happening in all of this. And then when somebody has a dream and he speaks to them concerning the dream, and then the baker says, I had a dream, and he speaks to him concerning the dream. And then he feels like, I finally can feel liberty. I finally feel that my time is coming, and I'm going to get out of here. But, you know, after some time, a man of had passed by, and he wasn't able to get out of there. Despondency set back in such a horrid way as he sat there in that dark, dank prison, not knowing when his time was going to come, if he was going to get out or if he was going to die in there. It was a darkness that could be felt, but God's hand was in the middle of all of it. Amen. God was having the Egyptians grow corn. God was having the Egyptians build barns. God was having the Egyptians do this and do that, because God said, there's coming a day that I'm going to raise my man up out of the prison, and I'm going to put him upon the throne, and his voice is going to be the voice of wisdom. His voice is going to be the voice of authority, and it's all going to be finished, and I'm going to use all of this to feed all of my people. I'm going to use all of this to supply during the famine. Amen. God said, I know that you don't understand it right now, but you're just going to have to trust me for a while. I want to reiterate here today that when you can't trust him, or when you can't trace him, you still have to walk right. When you don't understand it, you still need to do right. When you don't understand the hand of God, amen, in your life, and you think to yourself that you've been forgotten or cast aside, you still gotta be right, do right, walk right, amen, because God, amen, is still in control, and he's still working it. Don't let the devil get the upper hand. Don't let the devil get the victory. You remain faithful to God, and God will be faithful to you.
You say, well, God didn't give me everything that I wanted. I was hoping for a full-fledged bakery. I would just simply ask you, but did God not provide your daily bread? God's hand's in the middle of all of it. Day in, day out. I could talk about Naomi, and I could say that Naomi couldn't see God working when the famine came. And she couldn't see God working when her husband died. And she couldn't see God working when her sons died. And she would even go to the point where she would just back up and say, you know what, just call me Mara. Don't call me Naomi anymore. That word Mara simply means bitterness. She said, I'm a bitter person. Life has done me wrong, and I am very, very bitter. But yet, while Naomi was mourning what she had lost, God was arranging a future that she could never imagine through Ruth and Boaz. And obviously, long term would come the lineage of Jesus Christ. Amen. God had his hand on the situation through it all. I could talk about the disciples. Amen. And they had put their faith in the man Christ Jesus, believed in him, followed him, had left everything that they had ever done so that they could be with him. And in this particular day, the disciples couldn't see God working at Calvary. All that they could see at that point in time was just a bloody cross and blood that was yet coagulating or drying up, amen, and becoming sticky. All that they could see was a sealed tomb, signifying that it was finished. That particular day looked like a day of defeat. And the next day was a day of utter silence. I am reminded during all of this concerning the darkness that was upon Egypt during those 3 days. The Bible said that nobody saw anybody and that nobody went anywhere. And I feel like that's exactly what happened, amen, in the 3 days that Jesus was in the grave. Amen. I know that there were those that went about their business and such, but what a day of darkness that it was. Amen. And even all the disciples, amen, I want to promise you right now that they didn't wake up on day two and say, well, he's gone. Let's get on with life. It was a day of grief. It was a day of hardship. It was a day of reckoning. Everything that we've worked for, everything that we put our faith in, everything that we put our hope in, everything that we trusted is gone. It's been ripped away from us. What do we do now? What do we do now? Do we go back to fishing? Do we go back to accounting? Do we go back to being a doctor? Do we go back to those things? What do we do now? You're telling me that for the last 3.5 years of my life was just in vain? You're telling me that I just wasted the last 3.5 years and something that I thought of, I had hope in, I bought into it, and it's all in vain. It's gone. It's finished. Is that what it all is? You telling me that that's where it all is? But in the midst of the things that they could not see, there was a God that was walking down to the gates of hell and kicking the gate open and telling Satan, come here, buddy boy. I want you to give me the keys. You're going to give me the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Your party is over. We've been fighting about this for a long period of time, all the way since Adam and Eve. But I want you to know today you are utterly defeated. Your finality, your eternity is forever settled. And with the keys in his hands, the Lord Jesus would turn around and walk out. And it was finished. I want to remind you, and I don't have to remind you about this today, but there is an enemy of your soul that loves to yell and loves to scream obscenities, and there are echoes down that long, dark, deep hallway of hell that become haunting as he tries to pull out all things concerning your past. And the Lord help me, I'm going to preach a little bit about it on Sunday morning. I want the house full of visitors, and I believe that the Lord is going to help us through it all on Sunday morning. But nevertheless, there is an enemy that loves to go remind you of your past, and you've heard it said before, but you need to remind him of his future, and so it is. But you know what? There are sometimes that comforting words really aren't too comforting when you are feeling the power and the pressure and the heaviness of the darkness of the time and of the day upon you. Praise God. Amen. But this particular day, amen, when that stone rolled away, and after Peter and John went into that tomb, and they saw that it was empty, and the two men that were on the road to Emmaus would walk away and say, huh, I don't know, there's just something about it. I don't understand everything, but did not our hearts burn within us? There's something that was going on. Amen. I want to tell you that the hand of the Lord was working in all of this. The hand of God was working. You cannot see the hand of God in your dark times, in your dark moments. Amen. But God is just saying, look, you're just going to have to trust me for a little while. Amen. That's the part of difficult theology. You don't understand it, but yet you trust it. It's the part where faith begins to shine. Faith begins to illuminate itself. Faith is trusting that God is working in the places that I cannot see, doing the things that I cannot understand, to accomplish the purpose that I cannot yet imagine. That is what faith is. I don't understand it. Amen. I cannot see it, and I don't know where all of this is going, but I trust God that in the middle of all of this, he's still working. I don't see how it's all going to come to pass. I don't see how it's all going to play out.
I don't see how it's all going to work out, but I believe that there is a God that's saying, new life, I just want you to trust me for a while longer. There's some things that must come to pass. There's some things that must happen. But in the end, God is going to get all the glory. In the end, it's all going to be okay. We often judge God by what we see, but yet God works from what only He can see. We see the present. He sees the end from the beginning. We see the problem. He sees the purpose. We see the darkness, and He sees the dawn in all things. Would you give Him praise here tonight? Oh, come on, let's just take a little bit of time and give Him some great praise. Hallelujah. I'm speaking to people here tonight. You've been walking through the valley of darkness. You've been walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. But you need to be as David would say. You're still my shepherd. You're still my shepherd. You're still my shepherd. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Micah said, when I sat in darkness, when I sat in darkness, when I sat in darkness, you are a light unto me. God is still that light. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. Purpose. He's working all things together for your good. He's working it for your good. There's times it doesn't feel so great. You can stand here tonight. There's times that it don't feel good. There's times that it seems like 2 + 2 never makes 4. Can you imagine Job, who had such the favor of God upon him and the smile of God brightening his day every day, and all of a sudden everything began to happen? One negative report after another. Job, all of your cattle's been killed. Job, all your camels have been stolen. Job, all of your sheep and your oxen been stolen. Job sitting there hanging his head thinking to himself, can it get any worse? Some guy said, oh, you just think it's bad. I've come to tell you that all your children were killed. Despair in a darkness that could be felt settled down upon him. He sat down in misery. We know he didn't throw a party. He sat down in misery. And just when he thought it couldn't get any worse, all of a sudden these boils started showing up all over his body. He took a broken piece of pottery and began to scrape them. If I could paint the picture to you that Job became unrecognizable. A man with open sores and all over his body. If I could say it like this, a man whom his wife didn't want anymore. She came to him and said, why don't you just curse God and die? I don't think I want to be with you anymore. And then he had 3 friends. 3 friends came and sat down with him. And what happens? Negative, 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 negative. And you know what it did? Read it. It embittered Job's spirit.
Job started off trying to defend God. Before it was said and done, he was accusing God. He became a bitter man. Yet the hand of God was working in the midst of all of it. There was a time when God came down and said, Job, I'm going to ask you some questions and I'm going to demand of you an answer. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? And Job realized, even though I didn't see it, his hand was in action. Job, where were you when I aligned the stars? I didn't see it happen, but I know that he did it. Job began to repent. It was a time that Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But there came a point in Job's life when he was on his face saying, I'm so sorry. I didn't see your hand in all of this. Before it was all said and done, Job had twice as much as he ever had. That could equate to twice as many problems too. I don't know. But I'm just simply saying, the hand of God is in action. The hand of God is in action. No matter what we seem to think, believe, the hand of God is in action. God's working. But here's the kicker. In the middle of it all, you have to be able to set aside the darkness and the feelings. And the Bible said that we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places and the rulers of the darkness. You feel that oppression. You can feel that anxiety, stress, worry. You can feel all of that. But I just come to remind you, and I've come to remind me, that in the middle of it all, I don't see it, I don't see how, I don't see when. There's a lot of stuff that I don't see. But I know that God's got his hand on everything. Why? Because there is a little bit in my area that I can see. There was still light there in Goshen, and children of Israel could see around them. There's days that you may not be able to see 2 days into the future. But can you see today? And you may not be able to see even into tonight, but can you see right now? And you may say, you know what, it's tough. But the Lord will be a light unto you. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Praise God. I'll tell you this right now. It's a whole lot easier to say this than it is to live it and to do it. But here's the ultimatum. This is what it is. I'm just going to have to trust him for today. I'm just going to have to believe him for today. I'm just going to have to take care of the things that he gives me today. And let the things of tomorrow and next month and next year, and let all those things that are somewhere off in the future, however far they may be, a day, a week, a month, doesn't matter. I'll let them take care of themselves when it happens. But I do know that God is still in control today. It's a darkness that can be felt. I feel the heaviness of it, the weight of it, the oppression of it. But God's still good. Amen. Can we love him here tonight?
Let's take some time here tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, I feel the hand of the Lord in this place here tonight. You say, I don't see it. Amen. You don't have to see it. If you just reach out, you'll feel it though. The hand of the Lord is here tonight. God's ready to help. God's ready to show himself strong. Amen. But there's going to be some moments, there's going to be some times that you're not going to be able to see. You're just going to feel. Amen. You're still going to have to trust him. Oh, glory, 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 glory to God. Oh, Savior, Savior, Savior. Would you help me sing it here tonight? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. One more time. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Would you just love his name one time here tonight? Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus.